Oremos, let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for another opportunity to sit with your word that humbles, changes, illuminates, and even saves. Right now, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you might transform us on the inside to look, live, and love more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose very name and spirit we pray. Amen. This is on the other side of the first sermon I preached when you guys had to decide whether or not you wanted me here. Then you guys decided that you wanted me here. And then we had the installation service last week. And so you're kind of stuck with me, which means that I get to preach dangerous messages now. Might get fired relatively soon. Because for the next few moments, I want to talk to you all about when faith takes us too far. I have a brand on my chest. Two of them, technically, but they overlap and they form one scar altogether. Back when I was 19, I had someone take a hot iron and leave the Greek letter sigma burned into my flesh. Twice. I don't have any regrets about it, but I don't think I'd make the same decision as a real life grown up with a more fully developed brain. Back then, I did it because it signaled belonging with some of my closest friends. And the only long-term implication that we factored in was that we wanted to be friends for a long time. And we had joined a fraternity that we were and remain really proud of. We were zealous about it. And at the time, there's not a lot that we wouldn't have done to signal how proud and dedicated we were to each other. And truth be told, we probably did a little too much sometimes. Well, I have a brand on my chest, two of them. So we definitely did a little too much sometimes. Even if our hearts were in the right place, our minds were often nowhere to be found. It's not hard to get caught up in zeal and find ourselves doing too much. And I think it's fair to wonder how the same Abraham who once haggled with God to save Sodom and Gomorrah ended up binding his own son to sacrifice on an altar at this late stage in his journey. Let's start with the obvious. Sacrificing your own child to appease a God is crazy work. Setting aside the matter of God commanding such a sacrifice, complying with that sort of commandment says a lot about Abraham. Rightly regarded as the father of all Israel and even more people indeed, Abraham holds a place of primacy in quite a few religious and worldviews that exist today. And of course, people can name the three major Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, but even lesser known peoples and religions like the Druze and Baha'i, Rastafarians, and Samaritans point back to Abraham as an ancestor of their faith and people. Now, Abraham's story is an imperfect but inspiring testimony of faith. We first meet him when God tells him to leave nearly everything and everyone he knows to travel to a land that he doesn't know. And he listens. He and his wife Sarah believed that they will become the progenitors of a great nation, well past the typical age of reproduction. And they live their lives according to the promises of an otherwise unknown God. This level of trust and belief is credited to Abraham as righteousness. But sacrificing your own child is crazy work. And that's before we even factor in the idea that this child was promised and given to him by the same God that he's about to sacrifice him to. Now, to be fair to Abraham, the story tells us that he's merely following God's command here. God tells him to take his beloved son and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham is prepared to do exactly that. Abraham gathers a couple of people to help him out, and he takes his son and moves resolutely to obey God. And yet Abraham's zeal for God does not come without a cost. I've always felt as though there's one person we don't hear enough from in this narrative. Isaac is the son who's about to be sacrificed. And the only thing we get to hear from him at all is a question about where the sacrifice is. In fact, Genesis doesn't recount Isaac saying much of anything else until he's much older and becomes a father himself. And so the person who's in a position to absorb the harshest impact of Abraham's faithfulness is essentially silenced in this story. This is not an uncommon paradigm. Many people suffer trauma in silence. And this raises a question for those of us who want to live faithful lives. Who has been rendered expendable in our zeal for God? Zeal to be faithful for God can lead us to a lot of places that are dangerous for those around us. In Abraham's zeal to be faithful for God, he was prepared to sacrifice his son. Later in the Bible, we meet a man named Saul of Tarsus. In his zeal to be faithful for God, he was prepared to persecute the church. In the fourth century of the Common Era, the church's zeal to be faithful for God led them to pick up the sword that had been consistently disavowed by the earliest Christ followers. In the age of exploration, zeal to be faithful for God led missionaries to collaborate with violent colonizers. There are times when our zeal to be faithful for God can put us in compromising positions if it is not accompanied by a zeal to love others well. And that is the sort of faithfulness that is comfortable calling human traffickers faithful if they hire ministers to preach at the people they hold captive. It's the sort of witness provided by denominations who silence the voices of women and queer people and ethnic minorities as they hide behind a constructed wall of proof texts. Eventually, we have to face the fact that zeal to be faithful to God will not override God's care and compassion for even the least among us. Now, Genesis 22 tells us that God tested Abraham, telling him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham is rewarded and lauded for his steadfastness. But it's important to note that God does not and will not allow Abraham's faith to harm Isaac. When zeal takes us to dangerous territory, when faith takes us too far, God provides the means for us to be faithfully generative. You see, the truest statement Abraham ever spoke is found in verse 8 of Genesis 22. God will provide the offering. Now, perhaps it's Abraham's right belief that God miraculously provided Isaac that prompts him to raise the knife over his son on the newly constructed altar 2 verses later. But in any case, God intervenes to save Isaac in this moment. Now, when Saul is on the way to Damascus to continue his persecution of the church, God intervenes to save Jesus's bride in the moment. We may never hear the stories and perspectives of the many people who sit bound on the altar of sacrifices. Zealous people have been driven too far by their faith. But God's eye remains fixed on their plight. God saves those who are bound to the altar by the zeal of others. And it's the sort of salvation with a universal impact. The story doesn't tell us how Isaac reacts to his salvation, only that after God intervenes on his behalf, Abraham notices a ram caught in some shrubs by its horns and sacrifices that instead. The story does go on to tell us of Isaac living on to marry Rebekah and having 2 children of his own named Jacob and Esau. And God delivering Isaac from Abraham's zeal saves Abraham himself. The promise that he'd so long depended on is sustained through the life of Isaac. As always, the salvation is communal. When we're driven by a desire to be faithful to God and go too far, real people pay the price. Typically, the most vulnerable among us, widows, orphans, immigrants, women, and children in general, captives, disabled people, queer people, all sorts of people who are pushed to the edges of our society. And when God sees these people bound to altars that we've constructed, God moves on their behalf. And when God saves them, we are redirected to the promise and the path of the promise that sustains us. In this way, God provides the means for us to be faithfully generative without consuming the world in our zeal. Now, when I told you I have a brand on my chest, a few things might have come to your mind. Some of you probably wondered what it looks like. A few of you are probably still wondering what on earth I was thinking. At least two of you are thinking you made a mistake in calling me to be your pastor. But when I think about it, I remember the sensations. See, it wasn't that painful a process. When you get branded, the heat burns the nerve ending, so you don't feel much beyond the initial contact. My tattoos hurt worse than my brands. But one thing I wasn't prepared for was the smell. The smell lingered. It's difficult to describe the smell of human flesh burning, and I wouldn't want to. And that was just two quick hits. If Abraham's zeal had carried him through the completion of sacrificing Isaac, Isaac would have suffered, but relatively quickly. But Abraham would have never forgotten the smell. When Abraham's zealous faith took him too far, God stepped in to save the one who stood to lose his life and the one who stood to lose his soul. Everyone pays a price for the actions we take. And the good news is that God is big enough to save us from the wages of the sins of all the world. We're not saved by our own faithfulness, but by the faithfulness of God, whose intervention is the only path to salvation. Thanks be to God.